ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to a Geek First Retrospective. I am the Iceman, Travis Snail. I did the bite gift tee for people that are audio listeners. And I'm here with the boys. Who's here?
I am the Maverick, Kirkland Patzer.
I'm the Uncle Goose, Taylor Field.
I had that song blaring in this room. I was bumping and Taylor like totally blue balled me cock block, just like, oh, I need 15 more minutes. I was all hyped. I was ready to go listen to some Kenny Loggins with the boys. So good, such a goddamn good song. But here we are reviewing the 1986, I believe, Top Gun film. I think that's when it came out. This is in honor of the film. I won't be on the review because I'll be away on vacation, but these two boys, speaking of the boys, they'll be reviewing at some point unless they forget. Have you guys bought your tickets for Wednesday?
No, I'm going to buy it when Kirkland buys it.
Yeah.
That's a smart assessment.
Waiting for my wingman to make the move.
They both will both wait. Well, either way, there'll be a review at some point. And if they do it on my trip, I will be away. But I'll definitely be seeing it. I'm not sure if we'll be talking about Going Geeks. But I think we have Blade Runner and then Avatar. I think this is our second, obviously, Avatar we're doing later this year. But usually retros, we don't have just one movie. You know, it's like a series, a couple sequels. But I'm sure there's maybe one other one I'm forgetting of just a one movie retro. But we're doing it at this time when this is coming out. We got a huge week because in a few days, gentlemen, this week, Obi-Wan premieres. Not one, but two episodes premieres. Star Wars Celebration's going down. And then the week after that, or a couple weeks after that, within June, we got tons of stuff. Summer Games Fest, Strikers 3, Jurassic World Dominion, just Xbox Games Conference. Tons of things are popping off. Taylor, where can they find all this stuff popping, snapping, cracking?
Ladies and gentlemen, you can find us with your internet connection. You can slap around, crack around,
pop. I was doing snap, crackle, pop. There's not a character named Slap.
You got to work on
snap,
just getting slap in there.
Kirkland said slap. I was rolling. I was running with that. Internet connection, search bar, geekverse.ca is our home base, geekversecast is our Twitter, geekverse on our Facebook.
Now, I have to say, as usual, links are down below. A big thank you to, let me get our banner here. Oh, why am I in a different banner? That's not the banner I want to be. Shout out to our Patreon producers, because you head over to Patreon right now, and there's four tiers you can do. The support tier, the exclusive early episodes tier. There's multiple tiers with different type of episodes on them, ad-free episodes. And then the big tier, our Patreon producers, which is Aaron Braden, April Darkness, Carl Ritchie, and Somali Biggs, who are at the highest tier and are getting that producer cred. So we thank you very much for keeping this wheel going. And you guys and gals that are on there at any tier help stuff like this happen, because these are the bonus episodes, either those on ones we make time for. And we're making time for Top Gun. And I do got to say, because I was wondering what was going to happen with our nicknames, and I feel like our nicknames are all appropriate, you know, because, you know, obviously we'll talk about the Val Kilmerness of it all. Taylor is a total goose. Like, he's 100% goose. And then I think Kirkland is Maverick. Like, how Maverick goes a little cowboy in these missions, ladies and gentlemen, you've never played Call of Duty with Kirkland.
That's him.
Live and die by the sword. Live and die by the Maverickness, you know, so...
That's right. I had a feeling it was going to be this, too. I didn't think there was going to be any doubles. Obviously, Travis is going to be Iceman, his father, and his father's footsteps. Yeah.
I feel like I would have been pretty mad if someone took Iceman from me. You know, he's my dad after.
Jessica joins randomly, and she's calling herself Iceman.
She would. She always says that thing, too, and she hasn't done it lately, but she tries to steal my catchphrase. Oh, go get your own, you know, get out of here. Get more creative. But, no, I legitimately have to ask, and not just because I got the short hair, because Emily, I don't know when she's seen this movie, but we watched it together, and she's like, you do look a lot like him. When you guys were watching the movie, did you feel that? Like, I looked like Val Kilmer?
It's like, what the fuck? Travis is in this movie? What? Why is he doing a podcast?
Like, I'm not saying I'm as good as good looking Val Kilmer. He definitely is on the higher notches. He gets the height and everything like that. But I look more like him than his kids do. I'm just saying right now.
You got to, frost tip your hair.
100%. Yeah. It's a I got lot the more spike right now. But yeah. But no, I just, it's like looking in a mirror, a tall, handsome glass.
He's a little bit more toned. You got some work to do.
100. Oh, I hope he'd be a little bit toned. He's fucking Batman.
He's the best of the best.
But yeah, he is. That's me in my prime. Like, that's like the multiverse Travis at like the prime there. But one day.
You're a fighter or a firefighter.
I'm a firefighter.
Oh, dear.
Fight the fires.
Air fighter. There you go. Yeah. Best of the best.
I don't see that happening. I'll just be the best of the best in the podcasting world, or, you know, like, decent. But, yeah, so let's kick this off. Taylor Field, what did you think about Top Gun? First, I guess I should say, was this your first time watching it ever?
This is my first time ever seeing it.
Whoa. Wow. Okay.
How does it compare to Red Tails? That was like your Top Gun, I'm sure.
Red Tails, definitely like peak George Lucas cinema, or Lucasfilm cinema.
Not Empire, not THX.
I love a good, like, fighter jets, planes, movies. It's like...
This could have been Rogue Squadron.
It's up there. It could have been Rogue Squadron. It's up there for spaceships and space battles, but, like, on our turf, and I like it. Yeah. So,
like the movie or just battles in general?
I guess a little bit of both, battles and this movie. So, overall, it was a very good, good story. It had a lot of... tribulation to it.
Great story.
Yeah, but it was kind of just...
Tell me the story. Give me the elevator pitch of what the story of Top Gun is.
Story is you're the hotshot and you face tragic loss and you overcome your pain and you just fucking make out like a bandit. So
get laid. That's the other part too.
Get laid, get paid.
Because the other part of that story is you're there to play volleyball, you're there to be an arrogant prick, you're there to make a lot of mistakes, and you're there to like... be in some very homoerotic situations the entire movie, you know?
Oh, there was some of that.
Yeah.
Smash one of the teachers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Can I say the name of a song? Is that too spoilery? Like...
No, this movie's been out since 1986.
Okay, good.
Danger Zone. Would you the song?
There's only four songs in this movie. They play them over again. There's a song that his mother sang to him. There's Danger Zone. There's Take My Breath Away. And then one Kenny Loggins playing with the boys. And then the Top Gun theme. There's just five songs in this.
I couldn't believe how they just cemented Take My Breath Away.
Continually.
They didn't insert any songs in between. It was back-to-back sequences. Five times, I'm pretty sure.
It was five times. I counted it. Yeah. It's because they would just sound drop. Is that what you're talking about, the song?
Yeah. Oh, my God. It was good the first time, but oh.
Yeah. Is that your final thoughts or your overall thoughts so far?
Yeah, I'm done.
Okay. Yep. Yeah, no, I'll go because just to touch upon what I was saying, that I haven't seen this movie in a while. I think I've probably seen it twice, and not good memory, because I would put this in this category of why I didn't see Fast and Furious for a while. And we were talking about this today at the water park where, you know, there was these guys, they busted out a barbecue, and then, like, one guy's grilling, and then two guys come over, like, oh, yeah, look at your grill, blah, blah, blah. And Emily's like, you're not really, like that. I'm like, yeah, like, with car, like, which sounds weird, but with, like, the masculine things. I know people say I'm a dude bro sometimes, but with, like, the cars or, like, you got guys by the grill and, like, looking at, like, that's just not stuff I'm into. So Top Gun was always that kind of, this is just, like, too, like, man, it's too bro-y for me. It's too manly. Like, even this movie is just so bro-y of just, like, dick measuring and just, like... And, of course, we have some fun and do that. But in real life, that's not really my personality. So, like, it's just such, like, a dude... This is a dude bro movie before dude bro was a term, you know? Like, that gelled hair.
Ladies.
Ladies. Everyone's being super obnoxious. Like, the character of Maverick, I don't actually think I like him. I think he's a piece of shit, like... all the way around, like, other than maybe the last 15 minutes of this movie, but there's nothing really to like about him other than, like, oh, he's a smooth talker. So I've seen it a few times, but when I was younger, so I have some memory. I know the iconic scenes, but it's been a long time since I sat down, never during the podcast. Like I said, this was maybe even before 2010 is the last time I saw this movie. I was like, okay, am I excited to sit down? And you know, there lots of people look at movies, I'd say, from the 80s and beyond, and be like, oh, man, they don't make movies like they used to. And that's definitely true for some movies. That's not the case for this one. This is, I don't think it's a bad movie, but this is the type of 80s movie I watch. I'm like, man, I'm glad we're out of the 80s, because there's just a certain cheese. And don't get me wrong, there's some cheesy bad movies in our day and age, 100%. But it's just... there's so much cheese over it, but I will say that it's an enjoyable movie. I think the end does get better because it gets a bit more serious. But me and Emma were having a hell of a time, like, kind of in a so bad it's so good way. And yeah, this is, I say this as a pro, as a compliment, as like a thing that they didn't know. But this is maybe unintentionally the gayest movie I've ever seen, as far as just like these, all these dudes just want to bang each other. All in the, like, the way they like pump up each other, and they're just like, there's, I have my biggest example is it feels like a startup porn where they're watching fighter footage, and this guy's like, oh, I'm getting hard. And the guy like, says, don't tease me. And it's like, what the fuck is going on here? Like, I get what they're saying, that they're getting worked up by the army stuff, but it feels, if anyone's seen Brokeback Mountain, it feels like that all, like, the, I'd say the first half of the movie, it just feels like they're having these conversations. You're like, are you guys going to kiss or what? Like, it's super weird. The volleyball scene is still super weird. It's all just weird. They, like, did they not know while they're making this? Like, this just feels like they're trying to feel so machismo, but it's like, this does not feel like that at all. Like, it just feels like it's a big flirt fest. But the actual story, it's fine. It's very bare bones. Like, Taylor was right about the story, but I feel like that story kicks in for, like, the last 30 minutes of the movie, maybe not, like, Goose dies and then the movie like really happens, but it rushes to an end. Even though it's almost 2 hours, I feel like it's just like a very rush to the actual meat and bones of the story, other than Maverick as a character. The rest of it is just setting up Top Gun, setting up all these characters, setting up all the, oh, I'm better than you, I'm better than you, setting up their womanizers. Like, it feels sometimes like a pilot for a TV series, but then we get the finale, like, at the last part, and also we don't, because we got Top Gun Maverick coming out. So I enjoyed it. I had a good time. I would actually watch this, but I cannot wait, because there's a certain scenes that I want to shout out that just, I just laughed. And yeah, it definitely has 80s cheese all over. It's smothered in 80s cheese, which if you like that or don't, that's your barometer for if you've never seen this movie, if you like that or not. So Kirkland, where are you on the 80s cheese factor?
I think I was like you. I've probably seen this a handful of times, like many years ago. I definitely haven't seen it since the podcast days. But my dad really liked this movie back in the day, so he showed it to me when I was younger, and I remember just like absolutely fucking loving this movie. I think it was like I was at a perfect age to just like eat up all of that cheese stuff, like the one-liners they say, and then they like do like a cool fighter jet spin-off. It's like, nice, that's
it's
awesome.
It's the James Bond thing.
God.
You want to be him. Yeah. You want to be Maverick, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. And like, I never like revisited with adult eyes, so it was really, really funny like diving through it again now, because yeah, like you, I remember all like the key moments, but all like the meat and the potatoes in the middle I completely forgot about, and like some of the dialogue I literally was laughing at certain scenes that like wasn't supposed to be comedic, just because like you said, it had that 80s cheezo factor all over it. There's like Taylor brought up like the Take My Breath Away on like every single time that they're like, I don't know, just semi-flirting or even just dialoguing together, like Tom Cruise and Kelly McGillis.
It feels like a scary movie, like parodies. Like that chunk of the movie does not feel like it's a serious movie. It feels like a comedy because they drop that beat so much, and then we get that awkward sex scene, which I gotta, if you've noticed, that's why my lights are like this. I gotta turn my lights down all the way because they want it to be sexy. But what was with this movie?
There's a lot of saliva.
For the audio listeners, they just have this moment where people, they would just have a shot of Kelly or Tom's tongue just coming out, and it looked like a lizard. Like it was not looking, like they wanted it to be sexy, and maybe it was back then, but man, it was not. It was that like, oh, these people clearly are not a couple in real life. And it's just, just the tongues, because the way the lighting was, this tongue would just stick out. It's like, this doesn't look good at all. And it's a nice slow sex scene, but then once they have sex, that song's gone. So it's like, that was the release of the song, you know?
That's right, the release. But yeah, like for the plot, I don't remember it like just being centered around like this school. I thought it was actually like a fight, you know, like World War something going on, like actual fight to the death. I didn't realize it was just this whole school situation. And like, it's weird because it seems like there's this theme that goes on where it's almost like facing your fears to a sense, because like you have like the I forget the call sign of the dude that like initially had like a panic attack when Maverick
Cougar.
Like went upside down with the cougar.
Cougar.
He had like a panic attack, and then he couldn't go to Top Gun school, and it's like he just lost it, you know, like he just lost his, he's, you know, he's crazy now, he can't focus on flying.
Yeah, he was the number one draft pick.
Yeah, exactly. And then that very similar thing happens to Maverick later in the movie when Goose dies, and then it's just like, oh, he's gone now. It's basically the same thing that's going to happen with Cougar, and then he just gets over that, and it's like this like redemption sort of thing, or like just, I don't know, being comfortable in his own shoes of a pilot again. And it's just like, it seemed really, really weird with everything else that was going on, because other than that, it's just like a school for fighter jets or fighter. I don't know why I can't fighter think of their pilots. Name right now. Yeah, fighter pilots. Jeez, I'm just mumbling
school
on my
for
own
the
words.
Fighter jets, planes from Disney.
And like, hey, and like
that
and,
guy keeps banging that girl on top of my hood. What are we gonna do?
And like the protagonist is not even really a likable character. Like, no. you kind of feel bad for his dad, I guess, but like you don't really know that story until like way later at the end. And he's just this really
like pompous,
I don't
arrogant,
know. Yeah,
asshole.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly. And the relationship with him and the lady just doesn't seem. It just seems really weird to me. And yeah, you pointed out the
that's
80s sex
all
scenes.
Over. That's yeah. Like the how rushed that love scene. Like literally, they go. They have a couple of instances. They go on that date, and then my favorite scene talking about how arrogant is. She says that thing at the school where he's dangerous. He's made some mistakes, and he's just fucking like a kid. Like gets out of there. He gets on his bike, and when she's trying to explain, he's like, "I can't hear you. I can't hear you." And then he drives back to her place, and she's like,
"I thought he went to his place. Was that her place?"
I don't care who it was. They both know where they were going, I guess. And then just like, oh yeah, you're going to tell them. She's like, I didn't tell you that because I think what you're doing is also genius and because I've fallen for you. It's like, you guys just went on your first date like 10 minutes ago and here we are. But that, like we talked about in the Batman 89 retro, that's just a thing in the 80s, right?
Yeah.
You have two scenes together, you're madly in love forever,
Yeah, so like a lot of those cheeso factors, I can kind of just like let go because this is an 80s movie. It's almost a period piece at this time. I laughed so hard too at the beginning how it said like 1980 whatever the Top Gun school was started, and then the next scene it's like present day. It's like what? Come on, this
6 years
like,
later.
At what point? Yeah, at what point can you stop doing that? If it's a 1986 movie, but yeah, like you showed out the volleyball scene, and I was laughing so hard. You just have Tom Cruise wearing nothing but just like these tight blue jeans playing
jeans.
Volleyball.
He's playing volleyball in jeans. I couldn't
believe
that.
That's so bold. Yeah. Oh yeah. And then he just puts on his jacket, goes back to his hot date. It was, yeah, 80s movie all over it, but I can still appreciate it, especially like because I liked it so much as a kid. Mm-hmm. It's just funny now watching it with, through the eyes of an adult. But yeah, I don't know. I think that's my overall feelings on it. If you haven't seen this movie now, like, would I recommend it in anticipation for Top Gun Maverick? Maybe. But
if you're planning on seeing Maverick, then for sure, yeah.
I would definitely say you need to.
Yeah, I would say yes, because I feel like they're going to obviously refer to a lot of stuff. And if you don't, like, I would honestly still, if you can, watch this with somebody. If you can, if you've never seen it before, I would say watch it with somebody to have. And it's not that bad. I'm not saying it was so. I could have watched this alone and still enjoyed it, but that's probably the best route. Or if you really like Tom Cruise, because, again, I love this era and maybe like mid-90s. I'll say late 90s, early 2000s when Cruise was still doing. This is not still. He's 24 in this fucking movie. Like, he's young cat and everything.
He's 24 in this movie.
He's 24 in this
movie.
Oh, yeah. He's, like, a couple years older than me. But, like, when he does these type of roles, like, I'm very excited for Mission Impossible to be over. Because, one, I'm excited for the finale. But I hope we just get more of him doing just straight, like, this is an action movie, but I feel like it's a good mix of, there's a lot of, it's not him always kicking ass, and lots of the stuff in him, the cockpit is, like, trying to be character based, and like I like seeing Tom Cruise run like the next person, but I always prefer this kind of Tom Cruise where it's, you get to see him stretch his muscles because he's still good. That's the thing where I think that makes this movie what it is you have Tom Cruise who's, even though he's playing an asshole, he's charismatic as fuck in this movie, like everything, and he plays that asshole. If they're trying to make him be an asshole, he comes off dripping like that. Like just that scene, like everyone uses those gifts of the it's classified, yes ma'am, and he puts on the glasses and stuff, but like when you're watching him actually do that, it's like, man, this guy has just like charisma for days. Like it's no, like when you're watching this, you're like, no wonder why he became the star he was,
absolutely.
Yeah, that's what we did overall. So let's take our first ad break and we'll dive into some specific scenes and stories. So we'll be right back. And we're back. So I'm not sure. I had somewhere where I want to start and I've completely forgot. So anyone can take the ball right now if they want to. But
we're
not taking the ball.
Yeah, we're not taking the ball. I don't know where to go.
So here's one thing. It's not even a big thing, but I just want to mention, I noticed at the beginning of the movie, and when you talk about the volleyball scene, because they make mention about this with the shower, but two things. One, when he goes, he like puts on these big boots. But man, again, someone let me know. I'm sure I'm wrong. But this also has to be like the sweatiest movie in the world because everybody is sweating and wet all the time. And not the good wet, ladies and gentlemen. Maybe in that one sex scene. But the rest of the time, no. Like, they will just be typing on a computer and they're fucking dripping. Like, it's ridiculous. Everybody, they're so wet. It's just, you'd have to like drench their clothes at the end of every day. And I get it because they're showing like the training and stuff. But there's sometimes where it's just, I guess I should have looked at where they're filming because it looked warm 24/7.
That aircraft warm. Carrier's captain, he was at the beginning and at the end. That end scene, he was just like, I got out of the shower and didn't towel off. He was so drenched.
Like, these people look like sweat, like on the pass of about to pass out, like point of sweat. You know, it's like, it's not good sweat, or they just ran a marathon. I get some of these situations, but. Yeah. Taylor, what did you feel about Maverick? Did you think he was a good guy? Did you like his character? Like, where were you on Maverick?
After seeing the trailer for the second one so many times,
oh my God. That was Morbius.
I was very curious how it was going to stack with the pre-existing world that was set up with this first movie. And now that I can kind of compare the two with having seen this one, I feel like, and again, I need to see the second one to properly say this, but I feel bad for him. Yeah, he was a hot shot, and I understand that there are hot shots like that in their certain careers, line of work, mm-hmm. especially when they are good at what they do and they have the mentality of being a hot shot. But I do feel bad for him, and seeing his struggle and overcoming it, and just his captain even saying like, hey, like, we went in with 18 planes, 8 made it out, or I think 8 went down, I think he said, like 10 pilots, like, you got to get over this. And that's so horrible because, like, I really did like Goose, and Goose was just, he's about his family, and they were both family together too. And
did you see that coming, Goose Chef? Do you think that was going
to
happen?
Well, I was waiting for something to go wrong based on what I knew from the second movie.
Because Miles Teller was like, what about my dad? He just dropped the Ben Owen line. Like you trained my father?
Like you trained my father. I don't blame Maverick at all for his death. That was, to be honest, I blame Iceman because Iceman is being a bit of a dick in that scenario, but it's just, it is what it is, and it's not Maverick's fault.
Well, no, it's not Iceman's fault either.
He should have cleared. And when he blasted off, that sent off, like, whatever into Maverick's jet.
His ego was preventing him from just, like, moving out of the way because he couldn't line up the shot, and then he didn't want to let Maverick take the shot because he's going for the Top Gun position.
But they say... Defend
your dad.
They specifically say... Two people, they talked that it was the engine was faulty. So they're saying in that situation, the plane could have handled it, but because the engine was faulty, it didn't. They say that in the court of law,
and that's how
he gets cleared. It's not Iceman's fault. It's what you do, Kirkland. You're working on these planes. You're going to say, you killed Goose, you bastard. But that's what they said.
That's
they
my legitimately, fault?
And she refers to it too. Like, I've seen the file. It's not your guys' fault. It was the engine. Now, and that's where I think, like, yeah, it's Iceman, but at the same time, it's them both being dickish because if it was just Iceman, Maverick wouldn't be in the car with, I want to just call her Kelly. What the fuck is her actual character's name?
Charlie.
I think I call her Chuck. Charlie. He's like, was it my fault? Like, it might have been my fault. I don't know. So if one, I think it's the engine. But two, if you're doing the blame game, I think it's both them dick measuring that situation. It's both them being risky because the whole movie is setting up Maverick. He keeps taking risks, and one of these times it's going to not pay off, and one of these times it's going to bite him in the ass. And that's why when this happens, all he can think about is, man, I fucked it up. I killed Goose.
But I don't know where he took a risk in this because he did everything he was supposed to. And Iceman came in, cut him off, which was a really bad thing to do initially. And he just stayed on course, had the shot lined up, but didn't open fire because he didn't want to. You know, he can't open fire. The shot was blocked by Iceman, and he just stayed on course. And then Iceman finally buggered off after accomplishing literally nothing, cutting
Maverick
him off.
Maverick could have backed down. You know, Maverick could have backed down. Let's just let Iceman take the shot, right?
But Iceman was never able to, and Maverick knew that.
He's like, give me 20 seconds, which is an obscene amount of number.
Yeah, but still, that's also a point of he could... You're right. Iceman's to blame with that, but it's also Maverick being bullish, right? Because if he knew this situation was going bad, he should just back down. Because at the end of the day, that heat, if he couldn't have got the shot, Iceman, it would have been on him when they landed. They would have been like, man, Iceman, you really fucked that up. Like, you got 20 seconds, you couldn't get that shot. But because Maverick was still kind of like pushing him a little bit, they're both pushers. You know, it was both their fault. It's the engine. That's all I'm going to say. It's the engine. Like, I'm not going to die on the hill, but I feel like the movie's trying to, because they don't really. when they have Iceman apologize, just like say sorry about his passing, the movie never tries to really propose that it's on Iceman's shoulders, you know? So that could either be one, it's just bad writing, or two, what they're trying to propose is it's more, it's not Maverick's fault, but there's like a, that's the what if game, right? He could play in his mind, well, what if I did back down and just let Iceman took the shot, right? What if I did kind of try to be, even though if Maverick is better, what if I just let him have this moment for now? But he's trying to be top gun. He's trying to graduate, be top of the class. So there's all this ego stuff. So, because Iceman, I mean, that fits with his name. If it was on him, he fucking showed no remorse. Like, that shit didn't bug him at all. But again, I'm not sure. Do you think they're are they playing them the same age, Iceman and Tom Cruise? Because I feel like they try to play Iceman as like he has close. A bit more seniority than him, though. But maybe I'm wrong in that.
I mean, maybe because Maverick wasn't like the first one on the list. He was number two.
Yeah.
So maybe just the more senior guys, you know, just have more experience. Maybe they're number one on the list like Iceman was. But I don't know. They seem fairly close.
Yeah, but yeah, Goose, RIP Goose. Yeah, go ahead.
It's funny we were talking about Iceman, though, because while watching, like, other than the scene that we just talked about, this viewing, I feel like I never realized that Iceman, like, he's really not a bad guy, like, at all.
No.
He's, like, really safe. He's all about just doing, like, safe maneuvers. He's just, like, only time he's up in Maverick's face is, I guess when Maverick's trying to, you know, scout out the competition, see who the number one guy is, but also just like criticizing Maverick's like dangerous flying styles, and then like watching him, like, oh my god, Iceman's like, it's not like he's going out of his way to like sabotage Maverick's plane or anything. Like he's just plays it by the book, and he's just a good pilot. It's funny the villainous role that he's kind of has in the, like in the movie, or that's the role he's kind of playing.
Well, that's why I feel like Maverick, if we're talking, like, this is one of those movies, I'm sorry, but our protagonist is the bad guy, you know, because, like, it should be
the bad guys are the MiGs, okay? They're, like, the black planes. Don't give them a country or anything like that.
No, don't want to offend anybody. And, like, that mission is just, like, so randomly thrown there. But, like, either way, because I feel like, like that first mission happens, and he calls him out, like, you're too dangerous, you're gonna get some hurt, like we talked about. And I feel like they're proposing Tom Cruise, like Maverick, as the guy that is the shit disturber, that is the guy of the way getting the mission and everything like that, you know. And Iceman, he's by, because I remember two things wrongly of I thought Iceman was much more of aggressor, much more in his face, and he is pretty just, he'll throw out comments, but he's not like, it still feels like he's trying to improve the team, and he's just literally Iceman because he's cold as ice, like he doesn't make a mistake when he's up there yet. Like he's not confrontational. They don't, like, I feel like I Mandela effect in my mind, like them getting in a fight at some point in this movie, and it didn't happen. Not like a punch out fight, but just some pushing, and it, like, just the teeth, and like Tom Cruise again just, they get really close to one another face, like they're just trying to like have a face off, like I don't know, stare down. And then oh shit, I was going somewhere with that. But either way, that's what I remember. You brought up in your overalls where I thought there was a lot more of them versus actual bad guys. I totally forgot that the last 50 minutes of that is this movie. The rest of it's just them at the school. You know, like even Goose, I thought, he died during a mission or something, but he didn't. He just died in school. You know, like, man, like I know it's Top Gun and I know it's them trying to get all the way up and it's like kind of the step before the big leads and everything, but. And again, I'm sure it happens in real life, so I'm not trying to disparage anybody. But man, what a bummer for his wife and kid that he died in this training kind of, that he just died in practice pretty much. You know, it's dangerous stuff, but still, it's just, and even then when they are saying like, it's, you know, a lot more people are going to die, you're just going to have to forget them and everything like that. But it's still just like, we weren't even on a mission. Like, how do we fuck this up? Like, how did this happen? And I'm sure it does happen, but just what a bad way for Goose to go. But like I said, I thought there's a lot more of them versus a threat, and there really wasn't. It's just like a random side mission that they get put on at the end of this movie,
it's
their graduation.
So shoehorned in. They're like, 100%. At their graduation party, they're all like sipping champagne. It's like, skate, put that down. You're going up in the air in like 2 minutes to go like actually fight people. It's so random. Because I remember like the fight happening at the end. I remember, you know, the line, oh, you can be my wingman anytime, like the nice resolution that happens. They're all cheering on the aircraft. Like, I remember all of that.
Oh,
but it's like, okay, how do we get to this
Jedi
point?
Cheering. Again, I'm not trying to belittle it. There's there's Six Men's Lives up there because there's Iceman and Slider, another terrible name. There's Merlin and Maverick. Was there another jet that we lost? Or was that it? Was it just them two?
I think they just lost the one plane up there, didn't they?
They did, yeah, because when that went down, then they launched Maverick as backup.
Yeah.
Right, and did they die or did they just lose the plane?
No, they
lost the plane because they helicoptered in.
Yeah,
at the end.
You see them at the end coming off the helicopter.
And that's the problem with this mission where it's just like, hey, good graduation. Here's your envelopes. You're going up in 24 hours, stuff like all this stuff, right? And yeah, shoehorned in, doesn't make much sense. She's like, yeah, we need a big climactic finale. And I will actually say, like, the scene is intense. I think it is. That's where I'm excited for the new Top Gun, because there's so many times where I hate to be that person. I'm like, what the fuck's going on? Like, there's just so many. Yeah, there's so many. How many shots do they have the guy in the back? Going, oh, it's left. Oh, and it's just like, what do these guys do? Like, I know they're doing something. Yeah, on your left again, Maverick. And just like, that's all. And I swear, of Slider, they use that same shot of him pushing up the glass like six times in the finale. It's like, did we lose some footage? But either way, because we don't know much about this mission, again, every life is important. I understand they come back, but because we don't really know what this mission is, these people cheered like they just avoided World War III. It's just like there's only like what was going to happen? Were they going to beat these pirates and then go to this ship and destroy one and then go to America and just take down America? I don't know, because it just feels so random. But when they land, it is the happiest people. They're like, oh my God. Like, I get it for the pilots because you just avoided death, but everybody else, like, whoa. Like, where was this mission leading to? I don't know. It was wild. It was wild, but they were really happy about it.
I love too when they're coming back, Mavericks, you know, oh, permission to fly by or whatever. And then it just goes to like the crewmen on the ship. And it's like they're a little kid at Disney World seeing like the parade for the first time. Like, they are just so elated in that moment to see these two fighter jets. And yeah, like the mission was what? They had like a ship that broke down and then it was in like bad guys' territory. So the MiGs were kind of swarming them or whatever, just giving them a hard time. It was random. And they opened fire quick. They did not give a fuck.
We get down to it. And then you get that guy who they keep going back to he's like a Family Guy Peter Griffin knee joke with that coffee. Keeps coming up. Like, beginning of the movie, Maverick flies by the tower without permission, doesn't say anything, scares him, gets coffee. They literally do the coffee joke again less than 30 seconds later because he's like yelling at the captain, like, this guy, blah, blah, blah. And he walks out of the door and bumps into a guy with a bunch of coffee and he literally goes, not again! And then he gets mad and walks away. And then at the end, same thing. It's like, dude, I think you should stop drinking coffee by these fighter jets and everything like that.
At least when Maverick is saying, can I get a flyby? And you're the same dude. You got to think, like, negative. You know he's going to fucking do it. So don't drink your coffee.
No, just wait a second. Just wait 1 second. And that's the type of, like, I get it. Maverick's like this comedic guy or charismatic guy. But that just shows the journey of what a fucking asshole he is. Where, to me, it's like, oh, can I have that, you know, flyby? And then he goes negative. And he kind of laughs. And they're laughing together because it's kind of like, oh yeah, he's learned to ask permission, but he still does it. Like, even though he said no, he still doesn't show that disrespect. So it's like, did he just need this one thing? My theory is why they sent him up there, because everyone's like, oh, I don't know if he's ready. Even Iceman, like, he was like, I love that right as the mission's about to go, they're like, oh yeah, and Maverick, he's next up. Iceman, that mission or that meeting breaks, and he goes right to the cabin. He's like, nothing personal, but this is a fucking awful idea. Like, he didn't say fucking or anything, but like, and Maverick's just there, like, sadly, like, listening over his shoulder of Iceman being like, this is awful. But my working theory is the reason why they sent Maverick up there is because they thought he might snap and die. So they just want to get, like, one more mission out of the guy, you know, like, and save a body for something else. Now you could say they want to get him back up there to, like, show his worth and everything. But I thought they also thought, you know what, this might be it for Mitchell here. So let's
I don't think they clear pilots that way, I think.
You don't think so?
Just that he's good. This is his last shot, so we'll send him out to die, basically. I don't think so.
Absolutely.
At all.
Anything to do with any aspect of war, I think that is highly happens a lot of times where someone might not be good for something. He's maybe not going to make it back. He's maybe a little lost. But you could use him in this situation where his life, him dying, would lead to some
expensive
success.
Plane, though.
Yeah.
I mean,
I
if
you
were,
want to get rid of that plane.
If you're like a high up politician, maybe, but when you are like commanding officer of a crew on ships and everything like that, I've been around that kind of environment, and it's, I don't know.
There's been a war.
Seem it.
Oh yeah, he's been to war. Yeah.
King Kong, Godzilla. Oh my God, seen some.
I will
shit.
Say though, like I don't know what it is, or I know what it is, I guess, because in the movie they just say that Viper, like the original Top Gun guy, had like a really good relationship with Maverick's dad. Mm-hmm. But like, it was so strange to me watching this now, and like he basically just gave Maverick like a carte blanche. Like it didn't matter what the fuck was happening. Oh, he's like, no, just keep sending him up there. He's good. And then like he's just, you know, like basically committing treason, like telling all this like classified information, and he just didn't give a fuck. He was like Maverick would have graduated even if he didn't show up to a single class. It seemed like Viper just fucking loved this guy. He's like, oh, he's like, if you need an RI, what do they call him, RIOs,
IOU.
No, I don't think it's an IOU.
You need an IOU, I'm here, kid.
The backup, the whatever the fuck they're called, the co-pilot in the plane, he's like, oh, if ever you need one, I'll be there. Like, he just was totally on his dick and he fucking loved him so much. It was a strange dynamic that I never obviously grasped onto until now.
The dynamic to me is like he led to his dad's death, so he just felt really bad about it, and he wanted to give this dad a free pass,
or him and Maverick's dad had like the Hal 100%. Fuck, what was his name? Cal, there you go.
Yeah, 100%. They were lovers, and just like he feels like Tom Cruise is his son. Yeah. There's a lot of wrestling going on at this Top Gun school, 100%. Like, they're just so that it had that machismo vibe and everything like that, which I'm pretty sure the actor that does Cal, he was on a show on TNT about like fighter pilots and stuff like that. Like, not like he was like a captain, lieutenant, like nothing like comedic, but just kind of a fun correlation. But,
I thought you were going to say he starred in a Top Gun type movie that was just, it was all gays. It was Top Gun
2.
Gay film. Yeah.
Yeah. Before, that's why this one's just called Top Gun Maverick. They already did Top Gun 2. But let's see.
There was a lot of shower scenes. Like, how many shower scenes were there when they're all just in their towels, all just getting all up in each other's face? And like, I don't even know if they were like just wet from the shower or just sweaty from the scenes. Because like you said, the moist factor, it was up in all those scenes.
They are sweating, so they jump in the shower, and then when they dry themselves off the water shower, there's sweat underneath it. Like, that's how much they're sweating. Mm. And there's so much stuff when they're in that locker room. There's a guy, he's just laying on his back, and his legs are just like spread, and they're just like, and it's just like, what is going on?
You wanna stretch me out, bro?
And it's so funny because it was something on Twitter last week. It was a trending tweet where someone was like, man, I hate that people treat like Top Gun as this kind of like a movie for the gay community and stuff like that. Like, it's such a manly movie. And then there was like a clip of like the director being like, yeah, it's won all these awards at like gay festivals. Like, it's really big in the gay community. He's like, that's great. Like, he's like, I don't really care. That's awesome. It's just like, there's no, like, it's just kind of like the people that thought Elton John was straight in the 80s. This is what this is. If you've watched this movie, like, there was a lot of people that were probably gay that got a lot of enjoyment out of that you had no idea. Like, because it feels that way. It feels like it's such a, like, a reverse engineering. And that's fine. That's not a bad thing. But it's just so funny that it just, so many times it feels like a porn. Like, that locker room scene, it feels like something's about to go down. Like, someone's like, you said Kirk, I'm going to be like, hey, can you just stretch me out? And then there's going to be an erection. And then someone's going to be like, you want to fly on me? Like, there's so many just weird just little things that they never thought this plays differently than they think, you know. But
yeah,
it's fun watching in retrospect.
Absolutely. No, it's awesome.
Yeah. We talked about, do we really add more on two things I guess I can add. One, I forgot Meg Ryan was in here as this role. Sometimes I always think that she's the lover, but she's not. Meg Ryan's is Goose's wife, and then they got the kid and everything like that. I will say, obviously, this is how he meets Charlie or comes on to her. And this is why I have some more things to point about Maverick. Like, that ladies' room scene. Like, that's some of that 80s stuff where it's like, man, this is some uncomfortable stuff. Like, this woman is supposed to be on a date with someone else. She goes to the ladies' room, and it's not even like she makes an eyes at him and then to meet him there. Like, he just goes in there, and there's one more I really didn't like where she goes to leave and he like steps in front of her, and I was like, I don't like this. Like, like, that's where I was like, I don't really like Maverick. Like, this is some forceful stuff, but of course she's into, and they're talking about if the bathroom sink will like break or something. I was like, okay, I get, we're getting a pass because she finds it all right. But man, these fuckers love to sing. They love to sing. They have shows planned out. They have duets planned out. Like, every time Goose and Maverick are at a bar, if there's a jukebox or a piano, those motherfuckers are howling over there. And, you know, good for them. Everyone needs a hobby. But
I feel like that's a Navy thing, though. Like it's
it is.
I feel like I've seen in other media type things, too. You just have, like, the Navy boys singing their sailor songs or whatever. So I think it fit, especially around the time.
Do you know why that's a thing? Like,
what else are you
going
to do, man?
Dance,
you're going to war. You're on a boat. Just try and enjoy the little things. If you're mopping
the
deck,
I know
sing
what else
some
they're
songs.
Doing. I know what else they're doing there to pass the time.
Playing Find the Pickle. But, so I feel like I like that. It had that 80s cheesemo factor of they're just singing random places and just making a fool of themselves, but just they're living free and being happy. So I also liked all the scenes of basically any scene that Goose was in. He was just awesome. The comedy around him was great, but also just him like living it up. And he really is just like that really innocent, like good character. It is unfortunate that he is the one that dies.
Yeah, in a train accident.
Yeah, his death means a lot for what Maverick, I don't know, came out to be, I guess. Like, would Maverick have just been the same if he always had Goose? Or do you think he needed that big well, death in his life to change him? I feel like it didn't really...
No, I feel like it affected him for a couple much. Days, yeah. You know? Like, I don't know. That's where that ending completely... To me, this is a movie of two sides. Like I said, there's the first half where it's the fun. You just meet the Top Gun Center. And then there is the, you know, PTSD, lost my friend, the mission movie. But I feel that maybe that part should have been bigger than the opening. Like, all that stuff with Kelly McGinnis and everything like that. Like, it still works. It's still enjoyable. But... it just feels so rushed. You don't feel the weight when Goose dies. He goes on one mission. Do you guys remember the call sign of the guy of the first mission he goes to? He completely just snaps on him. He's like, I'll shoot when I'm ready to shoot. And everyone's just like, no,
oh,
he's going to be
fine. Oh, Showrun or Sundown. That guy?
Was it Sundown?
He had the red helmet. Is there your
Many
number?
Of them had red helmets.
Well, like the dude that replaced Goose? Is that who you're asking?
Yeah.
Yeah, Sundown.
Sundown. So yeah, they're having a good mission. There's a shot I guess he could take. Cruz doesn't take it because he's just again having fun.
And the line he says, what does he say? He's like, no, not looking good. He just like dips, and he says the exact same line. Yeah. It's like they're in like an actual like war threat. He's supposed to be Iceman's wing, and he's like not looking good. He literally just dips out of there. Leaving Iceman completely on his own. Jesus.
Oh, yeah. That's where it's just like, again, the mission went all right, but the fact that no one's going to sit him down and be like, okay, Maverick, you know, remember that mission you just went on? Oh, yeah, I remember. Okay, so there's a moment where you had the shot and you said it's not looking good and you didn't take it. Oh, yeah, but I went back and took it. Yeah, but you remember what you did in the middle of that? No, I don't. Well, you didn't take the shot and then you turned and you continued to fly away from Iceman.
It's like you, Travis, in Call of Duty, me and Kirkland are pushing and you're like, oh, doesn't
not
look good.
Oh, good. Yeah. Oh, he is that. He's totally that.
Fuck off. To put that on me, no. I feel like the only person I would not put that on is Kirkland. I feel like Taylor has done it many times as well, Kirkland. I feel like there's times you and Emily are charging something.
I've been known
and
to
Taylor's,
do it.
Taylor's like, gotta get a copter, not looking good. Like, so I don't think that's just on me. If the situation is bad, I will bounce yes to keep the team alive. But like, I feel Taylor does back out. Maybe not as much as me, but it's not just me. I'm not known as the back out or anything like that. You think that's a fair assessment, Kirkland?
That's fair. Assessment. It's classified. But
so what would you rather me do in these situations of when everyone's dead? You want me to go take on that team because you're like, oh, just shoot? You could kill them all or jump off and save the team?
It's not looking good.
I mean, it depends on the situation.
Fine, tonight I'm going to like a motherfucker. I'm going to not looking good like a motherfucker. But but anyway, so yeah, we have... Not good, but yeah, in the middle of that, that's where I was just laughing. We're like, you gotta help Iceman, and he's just flying away. He's like, I'm out of here, you know. Like,
and like, if that didn't go well, like if they literally just killed Iceman, like that would have been on Viper, because Viper's like, no, he's good to go. This guy that has like PTSD right now, everyone's like, no, red flags. Like, we have the best of the best, like literally like a full classroom of the best of the best, and then this one guy that's going through like a PTSD moment, but you're just too proud because like you knew his dad, so you're just putting this like super threat up there. That could imagine, possibly ruin, you know, this whole plan for everyone.
Yeah.
As he's getting near to Iceman, you can imagine what his like his buddy up and back's thinking. Like, it's totally fine. We can do it. What the fuck are you doing, Maverick? Like, just totally freaking out. Like Sundown
was. Yeah,
just
take the job.
Like, You know, let's take another ad break, and then I got more to say on this little squad here, so we'll be right back. And we're back. But yeah, so if that went wrong, one, yeah, for Merlin, Tim Robbins in the back, that would have been such an awkward fly home. Like, you're flying and you're like watching back there, and you're just watching Iceman get gunned down. Like, you're just watching your fellow comrades and partners get gunned down while you're just like, you gotta turn back, Maverick. You're not looking good, not looking good. Like, it would have just been terrible. Imagine when you land. What, like, all, first of all, that unit, like you talked about, not only Viper, just everybody involved in Maverick's upbringing from the point of Goose's death to now would be fucked. Because who is the other one that was the other captain that kept sending him up on Viper's mission? He was the other drill sergeant. Jester, yeah. He would have been fucked too, because he was, I know he was following orders, but still, he was just like, he's like, okay, I'm going to do it. And like, that would have been such an awkward land and everything like that. And just, yeah.
You know what movie he was from, Kirkland? What other movie he's in?
I know he's like Sam Fisher from the Splinter Cell games.
He was in Starship Troopers. He's the lieutenant.
Oh, he is. That's right.
He's in a lot of stuff.
Canadian, too. It's from Toronto.
No, I had to do a look of, because, like, who's Goose Death's fault? And, yeah, it's a big debate between Iceman and the faults of the machine. But I'm going to go with fault of the machine because, no, the aircraft was the fault. The jet wash isn't a problem with most aircraft. The flat spin was caused by a problem with the original Pratt & Whitney TF-30 engines. I have no idea what this is, but this guy knows what he's talking about. Supplied with the F-14 that caused them to flash and flame out when airflow was disrupted. What was corrected by substituting the General Electronic turbofans, the F-14 flew with the majority of it for his career. So that's what it was. That's what they're saying. So yeah. Yeah, maybe Iceman
sounds
could
like Iceman's fault.
It didn't sound like Iceman. Not looking good. Not looking good. But
pull it out, not looking good.
Yeah. 20 seconds, not looking good.
It's like got the lock on him. No, not looking good. Yeah.
Just pulls. And like you said, the fact that he said it again later on, like that was the best. Like it's just like that's his go-to. Oh yeah, we gotta use that for COD tonight. But
wasn't it like the way they did the sequence, like he was holding Goose's dog tags too, like what do you got for me, Goose? Maybe I'm confusing this, but I swear he was like holding him like, what do you got for me, Goose? Like feeling out. Then he's like, yeah, I'm pulling out, not looking good. Like
no, it was reverse. He looked at that after fired him up. Yeah, he just remembered.
That's much better.
And me and Emma were talking about this, but he threw Goose's dog tags in the water, right?
I had such an issue with this scene.
Go ahead, you go.
Well, no, like this whole moment that like he has, you know, Goose's tags, and then it's supposed to be like, oh no, I've overcome my fears. Like, and what's it supposed to be? Like, best case scenario, like I don't need you anymore, Goose. And he just throws these dog tags in the water. Like I don't need to look at these dog tags to get me psyched up anymore. Like I didn't really understand what that meant. Best case scenario for like trying to defend
that's like
the movie.
Guilt he's holding on to. That symbolizes the guilt he's holding on to. But
so then
now,
fucking give it to his family. Yeah. Jesus Christ! Yes. Like, why is it on you to just like dispose of this dog tag? You know, you Meg Ryan. It's like, hey, did you ever find like Goose's dog tags? I'd love to give it to our son.
Still,
you know, when he gets older.
I'm looking through his place right now, but it's not looking good. Oh, new geek for me. We got. I don't think there's a gif of not looking good, but we got to make that gif this weekend. But no, like
find it.
That's where again I'm finally starting to get on the side of Maverick and the fact that like, I've overcome my fear. Goose's dog takes. Fuck, and just tosses them into some ocean on some body of water where they'll never be found. And I hope in the movie Miles Teller brings up like, yeah, and I never got my dad's fucking dog tags either. Like, and that's what I was trying to think. Were they maybe his father's he was holding on to or something like that? And that's like, that's fun. Those are your fathers. But I don't think so. I think they're Goose's. And that's where I get it. That was his friend. And maybe there's even a situation where he knew him before Meg Ryan met him. But it just felt like the death felt so much bigger for him. Like, it felt like he was trying to be like, no, I care more about Goose than even his wife and kid. Now, he never says that or acts it out. It was just the way the movie was proposing it. And same thing, once he threw that dog tag, that just felt like he was bigger than all of them. The fact that, yeah, he wouldn't give it to his own child, this keepsake, anything, especially now in this movie coming up, Goose's son is going to be a fighter pilot. Clearly, it's something just like, and look, they're going to have that. That's a good, actually, hook for the fucking sequel. They didn't think about that. You know, Maverick's dad died in action, and now Goose's dad, or Goose's son's, you know, his dad died in action, so there's going to be that bond there. But the fact that he took it upon himself to dispose of his dog tags, his fallen dad's dog tags, oh my god, like, what a fucking arrogant prick that he just, what a god call, he just did that. Like, and I hate Maverick. I don't like Maverick. I'm really excited to see the sequel if I continue not to like him, but he's just a prick, you know. It's just all, it's woe is me. But I think what the movie's trying to say is, yeah, those dog tags represented guilt. He's letting that go so he can do his job and be a fighter pilot and train people and such. Because if he didn't let it go, he wouldn't be, you know, it would always not be looking good. So,
right. Did they show Maverick at any point, like in the early stages of the movie, having his dad's dog tag?
Not that I took from. So I
didn't catch. I was, because I was just trying to wonder, like, if it could be his dad's dog tags. But I'm pretty sure he doesn't have them until Goose passes away. So,
yeah. Taylor, you gonna defend Maverick for the dog tags?
No, I just think that's super shitty. I think if we were all going into battle or something like that, and one of you guys dies, I mean, taking the dog tags, you got to keep them.
Yeah, exactly.
It's an honorable thing, and yeah, if you're,
it was Goose's dog tags. Just to confirm. Yeah,
those should definitely go to his son. Like, that's huge. That's very, very huge. So,
like, I guess, like, even then, like, if they were even like, Maverick, as the keepsake, we want you to have these dog tags, and they're his to completely own.
Just even throw some away, like, right in front of her. She's like, well, fuck, if you're going to throw them away, I would have kept them.
Like Luke with the lightsaber. Yeah, like, and that's exactly it. Even myself, if they were mine, they're yours, you can do whatever you want, I'd say, like, I think I'll pass these off to his son, you know? Especially because I didn't remember this. He felt so close with the family, maybe a little too close with his wife there, because, man, they were hanging off each other. There was some.
Yeah, they were like really close face to face, too. It looked like they were going to smooch at one point.
Yeah, Goose was like playing the piano, and he asked his son, he's like, what's Mommy and Maverick doing over there? And the son looks and said, it's not looking good. But I did like that scene. She's kind of kind of letting it slip that he's just like a womanizer, and see all these women like, oh yeah, Goose would be come home and going to church, and here he is going out with 20 women. And Charlie, I thought there was gonna be some tension. Not at all. She's just laughing about it, chuckling, and then they double down with, oh, you know, but he's in love with you, and I've never seen him like this, and da 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 and stuff. And she's not in the sequel, so I'm curious to say, like, if they broke up, if she's dead, or if they are simply like they're married, but she's just not in the story. You know, like, they could easily be together, and if the story is him training people, especially Goose's son, she doesn't need to be there, right? Like, it wouldn't really be her story. So I'm interested to see. Actually, no, yeah, he's definitely not married, because they show him with a broad, and so they make two jokes about it, about him sleeping with, like, the admiral's daughter or something like that. That who apparently is Jennifer her name's not Jennifer Colony. It's Paul Bettany's wife.
Fuck if I know who that is. Jennifer Connelly.
Connelly, thank you, Connelly. Connelly. The rumor is she's playing the admiral's daughter that he, like, slept with in the past. So that's kind of fun and everything like that. But, yeah, if you get dog tags from your friend and they died, give them to somebody else that might need them and everything like that. But, oh, that's what I was saying. The son, he was, like, singing with the son. He was holding the son. At one point, he's, like, carrying the son out of the airport. It seemed like Maverick was pretty close with the son, mm-hmm. or at least, like, that was fond of him, and, didn't pass that up.
So, I think that was something that was missing in this movie, actually. It was more of that, like, the aftermath of just when Goose died. Like you only see his family, like very, very briefly, and, like,
oh yeah, there's, they don't see them sitting in that room,
like, yeah, like, they don't seem that torn up about it, and, like, Maverick really never feels that torn up about it, other than just having these, like, weird emo moments and, like, PTSD when he's up in the plane and he's like, I gotta go.
When he's packing up, there's multiple times where that's where I didn't like is the son and her sitting in a room with some chairs, and he, like, grabs a dog tag and he's crying. He grabs, like, a photo, and he, like, falls against the wall, and he's fucking bursting in tears, and they cut to the mom and the son just like hanging out, and they're, like, just sad and stuff like that. And he's just having this full come to Jesus. Oh my God, he's gone and everything like that. And then after that, yeah, it's more about his struggles than it is with Goose. But again, like, I think it's quick.
Well, like Meg Ryan's like, you know, he really loved flying with the Maverick. And it was just like all about like the Top Gun experience again. Like it just seems so disconnected from like a real situation like that. Yes. Would have been handled in my own opinion. So that's just how it felt. And it just felt weird and it just not really realistic. And I think they could have done a lot more with that, and it would have made like going into the sequel with Miles Teller being Goose's son just that much better if we actually had a moment like that of like Tom, like he doesn't even say a single moment like I'm gonna look after you or like, you know, like don't have to worry, like he just fucking lost. I hate to make assumptions, but like I'm assuming like the breadwinner in that family, like are they financially like backed, like what's gonna happen there, like
I think they'd be covered by the military.
Okay, there you go.
The Navy for sure.
There you go. Never mind. Maverick can just go fuck off and do what he wants then.
It's no good. What is this?
That's exactly what he says. I just played it's the no scene. Good. The guy's like, Maverick, no engage. It's no good. It's no good.
Oh, no, so he says it's not today. Good. He says it's no good?
It's no good, yeah.
It's no good. Okay.
It's no good.
We'll try again tomorrow.
Yeah. Christ. I spins out there, man. It's no good.
It's no good.
My last like point I have is a really fun line. I like the first time when Charlie and Maverick or Mitchell meet, and he's like, "Oh, Maverick," and he's like, "Oh, that's your name." And he's like, "Yeah, Maverick. You know, I'm a fighter pilot." And she's like, "Oh, good. I thought your mother didn't like you or something." I really like that. That was a fun line there. But I think everything I've said, I talked about. You guys already took the take my breath away things that like that happened. I had that like, and I think it was just four times. But yeah, four times it was, not five, because I counted it. But yeah, that day, and same thing, they were rocking Danger Zone a lot. It would just cut to Danger Zone.
The montage of just like the planes just like flying off of the carrier. That was another one of those scenes where like when I was younger, I remember just fucking eating that up. I'm like, this is so cool. Just fighter jets on the carrier just flying out. Yeah. But it's just Danger Zone. And then just like a weird sunset with just these jets just flying off. And I don't know, I guess it just gets you hyped. Not so much nowadays, but yeah.
Well, and there's so many like that's. I think all those shots are great. How did you guys feel about the actual like fighter
like the
jet
fight
stuff?
Scenes?
Yeah, because I feel like it's a mix of some. I like the cockpit stuff. That's good. Sometimes it was good, but there's like some really harsh shots. I did not like anytime it was first point of view from the jet's perspective of just seeing the ground go by fast. I think that looked again. It's 86, so I'm sure it was like, oh wow. But looking at it now, it's like, ooh, that it does not feel the greatest. But I'm really excited to see now in 2022 like what it's gonna look like. So I feel like those action scenes. We're 50-50 with the last one being the best. But honestly, I said this to Emily, where there's so many times where they're up there. It's like I kind of tuned out because I was just looking at a lot of similar shots. And I was more about like what's happening on the ground. But I think they got better as they went along.
No, I agree. I think I agree with everything you said. Like when I was younger, I didn't really like pick it apart or anything. It was just action was going on. It was, I'm assuming, hard to follow, but still it was just loud noises and aircraft. So it was kind of exciting. But yeah, no, like I definitely agree the last fight scene was the best, but there was some moments, and not even necessarily like the last fight scene, but just when they're in school, where I couldn't really tell who the target was and like who wasn't when it was going to the planes. But I think for like an 80s movie, like just having those shots of them like shoulder checking and being like, oh no, there he goes, like it, you know, like it's pretty good for the time. So, but I 100% agree with you. I'm so excited for the second one and just to see what they can actually show and like actually, you know, just pop off with the CGI or practice, whatever they're doing. The visuals are going to be awesome. So very much excited for that. But definitely for 86, like, can't knock them for that.
No, they did their best. What about you, Taylor? You, like you said, you like this type of stuff.
I do, yeah. There was definitely some moments that were kind of hard to follow with the action. I feel like they honestly could have just pulled stock footage of just jets flying and just thrown in this movie, to be honest. But I mean, yeah, it's what they did in the 80s. Like, it's impressive and it worked. It was really, really awesome. So I'm still game for it. I was watching a few reels on what they were, I guess, using in the new Top Gun film in terms of filming and the training they did and everything like that, and how they got the camera angle set up and all that. So it's, again, full on, like a lot of practical stuff, which I'm really, really excited for. So I'm super stoked. Nice.
Yeah. Well, anything else to say?
Back in the game.
No, it's no good.
That's a
good one.
Did you make the It's No Good GIF?
I made that one, yeah.
You gotta teach me how to. Oh, is that how you say it? I never know how to say this.
Yours
shit.
Is better, though. I like yours.
Yeah, see, I like yours better. I like having just the it's no good thing. But you know what? They both work. I'm gonna save it. But anything else to say specifically on this movie before I drop a final rating?
I don't think so. Oh, okay. Actually, I loved how conveniently they just happen to have. I forget, a slingshot malfunction, so they couldn't just send fighter jets, to go back up Maverick. So the only, because that was the excuse that they said on why they couldn't, send out more planes. They had to just depend on Maverick, who was just saying it's no good. He's got to get the fuck out of there. And then, he's like, oh, how long? He's like, oh, that'll be, 10, 15 minutes till it's up running. Just, the perfect length of, the combat sequence. It's just okay, eye roll there, but whatever. It's why the fuck wouldn't they just send, as many as they can all at once? But,
yeah. Just to save these people, you know. It's just Maverick who just came off, who's coming off a very tough week. Yeah. He's our one hope, you know. So, so I will go. I'll drop a rating. It's tough, you know. I've done this two times this week. I'm gonna give it a 7. Now, usually sevens are movies that I think are. Good, maybe guilty pleasures, but I will watch again. I gave that to spoilers Men earlier this week. I'll never watch Men again. And then I'm giving this I'll never not watch this again, but I don't love it. I like it enough where in back day, if we still had cable and was on TV, I would say, oh yeah, okay, maybe I'd watch a little bit. But I don't know if I'm ever gonna be in a mood to put it on. Now, this could be a situation if I love Top Gun Maverick, and lots of people say, oh, it's better than the first one. Well, yeah, I fucking hope so after watching this. It's an enjoyable movie, but come on now, we're in 2022. But if it's something where I just love, it's kind of like we talked about Kirkland with Spectre and No Time to Die, where it's that made Spectre better. If Maverick's so good and I feel like I really got to do that 1-2 punch to get them back to back, I could see myself going back to it. But right now, yeah, I like it. I will watch again in my life some point. Maybe it won't be as far as Break before, but also isn't a movie that is one of my favorites. And it might be, there's probably a long list of other movies that I would put on again before this. There's a long list of Tom Cruise movies I'd probably put on before this. I might watch Hot Shots before this. Hot Shots is the Charlie Sheen spoof movie, which I absolutely love, which I hope one day we do. We got to do that. We got to do Top Secret. We got to just do a spoof movie train. But yeah, a 7 out of 10 for me. Enjoyable. Some 80s cheese. Yeah, there's some issues there. There's some very big, just kind of, this doesn't make sense. We've talked about many things, character choices, decisions, just dog tags, you know. So 7 out of 10 for me. Kirk and Patzer.
Yeah, I'm I think I'm gonna follow in your suit. I think I'm gonna give it a 7 out of 10 as well. This is a movie that, coming into it, I thought my rating was gonna be so much higher, because just as I said, I haven't seen it in a very long time, but I remember really loving it as a kid. Just I didn't remember the cheese factor. I thought there was so much more to the plot, and the action was just really exciting, and just Danger Zone, man. Every time I hear that song, I think of Top Gun. It just has that effect.
Well, they made it for this movie. Same with Take My Breath Away.
Oh, really? Okay.
Same with Take My Breath Away. Yeah. So that's why they play it so much. We played for these fucking songs. We're going to use the song. So you know that song that Lady Gaga did for Top Gun Maverick? They're going to play it every fucking minute. When Tom Cruise and Jennifer Connelly are banging, it's just going to be whatever Lady Gaga put out.
And they're like this.
Yeah.
They're getting that just wet tongue on their.
But they're older, so it'd be like a blue silhouette. I'm joking.
It's just saggy. Yeah,
Jennifer's
just
still a babe, and Tom's still a babe enough.
He's still Tom.
we still would, you know? Come on. And he'd be have you ever heard of Scientology? It's no good.
It's no good. It tries you out.
Get out. Just after you bang any woman, bang Tom Cruise, you're like Maverick getting away from Iceman. It's no good, and you're just flying that ship away.
The field.
Did you give a score? Sorry, I missed that.
7.
No, I didn't. I was thinking about let's take in the game.
I was listening to Kirkland. Sorry, I was confused, but he said Tom's still Tom. So, yeah, Taylor, final thoughts on a score.
I'm a sucker for these old, 80s and 90s movies. I really am.
I
am, yeah.
What about Excalibur?
Was that 80s and 90s? Pretty sure that was like earlier than that.
Maybe it was. Maybe it was.
Definitely couldn't have been 80s or 90s. Yeah, I just think it
was early 80s.
Fuck, maybe it was 80s, like really early 80s. I feel like it was
1981.
Was it really?
Oh, okay. Yeah,
it was really early 80s.
Yeah. So it was only 5 years before this movie.
The technology feels so different.
You love these 80s movies.
There's something simple about them. I mean,
definitely.
Yeah,
the wild sex scene in Excalibur.
Oh, yeah. The simplicity of these kind of films, like, I can get on board with. And it's just, I don't know, like, they have a certain aesthetic that sometimes takes it over a lot of present day films for me sometimes. So I didn't mind that, and I'm a sucker for that. So
for you nowadays, yeah, you know? Too much messages. Yeah.
But no, it's just it was a fun ride for what it was. It didn't have to be anything more than just the simple adventure of this hotshot going to school and becoming the best and then suffering and coming back from that. So I enjoyed it. Again, it's not a super crazy story. It's basic, it's simple, and I'm probably gonna go like a 7.5. You know, around the range of your guys' score. So, yeah. But do I need to see it again right away? Probably not. But I will say, like, even though seeing the trailer for the second one so many times and it being delayed and all that and it just kind of being on the back burner of my mind, I'm actually now really looking forward to seeing it. So
I agree with you, actually, because I was always like, because it's so funny where I was like, I didn't even know if I'm going to see Top Gun and Maverick in theaters. You know, like, I don't even know if I need to. And then we got closer, and it's just, I think being back at the movie theater is like, okay, I'll just kind of see whatever movie I'm kind of somewhat excited for. And then once I find that I might not be on the review, I'm like, I might get around to it at some point. But if I see it at home, it's fine. But now after this, I'm like, okay, no, I want to see it. And even if I'm not reviewing, which I'm not, like, I just want to see it to see it. So yeah. It did get that because it's, I am excited to see the dynamics. And you guys know this for the listeners. I love any of the Logan style, like old timer, like one last ride, one last run,
one last
deal.
Ride,
one last fly, one last it's no good. And I'm very excited to see, like, yeah, what has happened to this character in what? Oh God, I was gonna say 30 years, almost 40 years now. Because fuck, we're in 2020. Like, probably lots has happened. You know, I would hope lots has happened. And, you know, so I'm excited with the milestone. And, like, plus, if you look at that cast, Jennifer Connelly's great. John Hamm's in this fucking thing. Miles Teller. There's the guy from, I'm so happy I never remember his name, but the guy from Scream Queens is in this thing. Remember, Taylor? He was our favorite. The guy who was, like, the jock who was...
like, the leader of the, that
yeah,
house?
The maternity or whatever. Yeah, he's in this movie. He's just one of the
he is. Yeah. Yes, fuck, he was funny. Holy
and
shit.
I hope this role, he's a guy that I really hope breaks out and gets like a lot more stuff because he's super talented. I feel like Hollywood hasn't really discovered him yet. He just keeps getting these small roles. But anyone that watched Scream Queens knew, but if you didn't, like, he was everyone else you thought would be the star, and he wasn't the star, but. What was his name?
Glenn Powell. He was a Chad. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But, like, he was so good, his comedic timing. And, yeah, and then I feel like when he died, the show went down. Like, I feel like that lost a little bit of it. But, yeah, there will be a review. And, you know, hopefully it's good enough for we talk about Golden Geeks. We'll see. But thank you for turning in this retrospective. Let us know what you think about the movie, what you'd score the movie. It's our Twitter, Facebook, Discord, the YouTube. And we promise you it won't be boring and it won't be no good.
Peace.